So as many of you know, we did have the vote to determine the senior pastor this morning, and it was an overwhelming vote in favor of having Ed and Rebecca pastor this church. So I just want to introduce them to you this morning as the new senior pastor and pastor's wife of Boyd Avenue Baptist Church.
If you have your Bibles with you here this morning, if you can take them and turn to the book of John, chapter 3. We're going to continue this morning our series. We have began last week looking at who is Jesus as we are approaching the Christmas season. So we're looking through a series through the book of John on who is this person of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look at Jesus, the Savior of the world, a topic that we talk about, a topic that we sing about, and in some circles something that we have debates about. According to Barna Research in 2016, most people in our country identify themselves as Christians. Almost three-quarters, 73%, say that they are Christians, while one-fifth, about 20%, claim no faith at all. They say they're either atheist or agnostic. And then a fraction, about 6%, identify with faiths like Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, and Hinduism. And about 1% of people say that they really are unsure what their faith is. Not only do most Americans claim to be Christians, but a similar percentage, about 73%, also say that religious faith is very important in their life. 52% say they strongly agree with that statement, and 21% say they somewhat agree. Those professing to be Christians were asked whether they personally have a responsibility to tell other people about their faith, about their religious beliefs. And 54% believe that they do not have a responsibility to share their faith. And 46% say they probably have a responsibility to do that. The same people are asked if good works would result in someone going to heaven, and 55% of people agree that good works would get somebody into heaven, while 42% say that good works would not get a person into heaven. See, if a person could be good enough to get to heaven, then why did Jesus come? Why are we doing this? Why did Jesus suffer? Why was he executed on a cross? Why did he have to conquer death? It seems like this would be a really unnecessary exercise for God to go through if we could do something on our own to get us to heaven. So today we're going to look at an encounter. We're going to look at an encounter that a man by the name of Nicodemus has with Jesus. And by all accounts, Nicodemus was a pretty good man. He was a pretty good guy. See, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was a Jewish ruling council. 70 members of this council, and they were responsible for the religious decisions, and under the Roman guiding, under Roman authority, they were responsible for civil rule at the time. Nicodemus was a respected leader of his time. There were several hostile conversations that were happening as you read through the Gospels between Jesus and these Pharisees. And Nicodemus was present during these times, but he probably wasn't really a full participant. He was watching and he was learning and he was thinking through this. And something didn't seem right to Nicodemus. There was something more about Jesus and something that he didn't understand as Jesus was being challenged. So he comes to Jesus and he has this conversation, this secret conversation in private. And this is the conversation we're going to read about here this morning in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. We know, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you,
We speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He comes to Jesus with an open mind and an open heart. John's describing when this conversation takes place, and there might be some reasons why he came at night. He might have come at night because he wanted to avoid the crowds. There were lots of people around Jesus during the day, and so maybe he came at night to avoid the crowds. Maybe it was because that rabbis often taught at night, and maybe this was a time when he could come and to be taught. Maybe it was because he really didn't want anybody else to see him come to Jesus, and he didn't want the other Pharisees to know he was having this conversation. Whatever the reason was, John thought it was important enough to mention this, that he comes at night, but Nicodemus comes willing to learn. Whatever the reason that he came at night, he came wanting to learn something from Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was a teacher. He called him rabbi. He recognized that Jesus was from God, that there was something different about Jesus, and the message that he had, it had to be from God. But Nicodemus, his understanding was limited. He really didn't have a good picture of what this meant. And even as a teacher himself, he understood that he didn't know everything, but he needed to come and learn from Jesus. Now, how important is it for us to realize that we really don't know everything? How important is it for us to realize that we need to be lifelong learners and put ourselves in positions that we can learn? I was once teaching through James in our college ministry. In our college ministry on Tuesday nights, we have a time of worship and a time of teaching. Then we break into small groups, and during those small groups, they discuss what we taught about, and they have some time of praying together. And as we were teaching through that, and I was walking through the hallways listening to some of the groups, and there was a young lady in our ministry, and I overheard her talking to her group and saying, "I really didn't get anything out of tonight's lesson. I've already read James once." So we need to understand how much we don't know. Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, as much as he knew that he had more to learn, being learners. And I have read through the Bible several times. I've taken time where I go through each night and I read a section of the Bible, and I have read through the Bible completely. And I'm amazed that every time I read the Bible, there's something else that I learn. Recently, I was been leading a study through the book of Romans. And I was reading through Romans, and I came across a verse that for some reason I had missed, and I never saw it before. And as I read this verse in a minute, you're going to ask the question. You're going to say, "How in the world did you miss this verse?" And I don't know, because I've been asking myself the same question. How could I have missed this? Because Romans 14:2 says, "One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only." I mean, how did I miss that? Seriously. Every time we open God's Word, every time we hear a sermon, every time we are in a Sunday school class, every time there should be something that we should learn. We need to come with an open mind and an open heart and be learners. So Nicodemus comes not only to learn, but he went to the source. He went directly to Jesus. If we're truly seeking an answer for something, you go to a source that can give you the answers that you need. So if you need guitar lessons or singing lessons, voice lessons, don't come to me, because I can't help you in those things. If you have a home improvement issue and you want to figure out how to fix it, don't call my number, because I'm not going to help you. I'm going to give you somebody else's number to call. If you want to know how to catch a frisbee or throw a frisbee, call me. I can help you there. Nicodemus came to Jesus as one rabbi to another. That's how he thought of it. And he quickly learns as he comes to Jesus how little he understands. I mean, look at these verses again in 3 through 8 where he says, when Jesus says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, Jesus tells Nicodemus here that there has to be a spiritual transformation that takes place in his life. In order for a person to really understand the kingdom of heaven, he really must be born again. And Nicodemus is a little confused at this. And Nicodemus asks, he says, how? And can you picture the look of confusion on his face? He's having this conversation with Jesus. And he says, how can a man be born again? And Jesus goes on and he explains this difference. The difference between having a physical and a spiritual life. See, we have no ability to save ourselves. We have no ability to be able to do that. This gift is a gift from God. And only God has the ability to give eternal life. And so as Nicodemus comes and he's asking about the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God looks like, Jesus says, you need to understand this from a spiritual perspective. You know, verse 8 really tells us how little control we have. Or it says the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from and where it's going. So it's everyone who is born of the Spirit. Look, we understand the wind. You know, we get it. And we understand that we have no control over the wind, because if I could control it, I would turn it off. At least I would turn it way down. I do not like the wind at all. I always tell people the worst part about living in Casper, Wyoming is the wind. We don't have control of the wind. We don't have control over our physical birth. And we have no ability to save ourselves spiritually. It comes from the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, it really doesn't matter how good we are, because we're never going to be good enough. There's nothing we can do that is good enough. We need a transformation in our life that only comes from God. And as Nicodemus comes and he's looking for answers, he's hearing the answer, transformation. Sometimes I have people come to my office and they're looking for answers, and I say, you need to turn to Jesus. And they say, you make it sound so simple. And I said, I have nothing else to offer you. Now, there are other things you can do, and there are things that are important, but ultimately the answer comes down to a relationship with Jesus. And we need to come not looking for just knowledge, not looking for what we know, but we need to come seeking more than just knowledge. In verse 9, Nicodemus says to him, he says, how can these things be? And Jesus says to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things, you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. See, Nicodemus comes again and he asks that question. He says, well, you know, how? And Jesus says to him, you're a teacher? You're a teacher of the law, you're supposed to know, and you don't know the answer? See, the Pharisees studied. These are people who knew the Old Testament. They knew all about God's Word. They spent time studying. They knew all of the laws. But Nicodemus didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't know God. He knew about Him, but he didn't know Him. And he needed to know more than just about God. He needed to know how to have a relationship with Him. You see, I'm a huge Indianapolis Colts fan, and I love Peyton Manning. I told you a few weeks ago, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And I know all of his stats, and I can tell you a whole lot about Peyton Manning. And I have pictures of Peyton Manning hanging in my house, and I do. I have Peyton Manning pictures in my house, and I know a lot about him, but you know what? I don't know him. I just know about him. You see, sometimes we get the idea that if we just come to church, then we're going to know God. Or if we just read our Bible, we're going to know God. Or if we're just interested in spiritual things, or if we just call ourselves a Christian and we use the right title, then we're going to be okay. But none of this stuff means that you know Jesus. Nicodemus, a spiritual leader, this was his profession, and he didn't know God. He knew a lot about Him, but he didn't know Him. See, we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn away from our sins. We need to accept the forgiveness that God gives us. We need to allow Him to be the Lord of our life, and then we can know Him. Then we can know Him, and we can know His love that He has for us. This is a love that is available for all. Look at verses 14 through 17. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, Jesus set the terms. We don't get to tell God that we're going to come to him on our terms. He tells us what the terms are. It's not a negotiation. You ever had your parents, have your kids try to negotiate with you about something, and you're like, sorry, no negotiation. You just listen. This is what I told you. This is what we're going to do. And it's not a negotiation. We can't come and negotiate and say, God, if I do this, you'll do this. God says, look, here's the terms. I've offered you salvation. You have come to me on my terms. This is what they are. See, a relationship with Jesus is available through death on a cross. Jesus is a Savior who conquers death. Notice those verses in 14 and 15 where he talks about the serpent here that being lifted up. This is a direct reference to Numbers 21, 8 and 9. See, while the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, God sends this plague of serpents to punish them for the rebellion. And those who were bitten were doomed to die unless they looked and they fixed their eyes on the serpent that was lifted up. And if they did that and they had faith by lifting their eyes, then they would be healed. See, looking to Jesus, elevated on a cross, paying the price for our sin, he gives us the remedy for our sin. And it's only through Jesus. And we can look anywhere else, but if we look anywhere else, we're like the Israelites who were doomed to die. If they looked at the serpent, they could be saved. If we look to Jesus and give our life to Jesus, then we can be saved and escape eternal death. See, Nicodemus could experience this love because of the sacrifice that Jesus paid for him. In verse 16, we have that great verse. And verse 16 and 17 really gives us a summary of this conversation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. First verse I memorized. Simple verse. Most of our kids know it. John 3:16. If you go to sporting events, you still see people's signs hanging it up. John 3:16. Perhaps the most recognized verse in the Bible, but so much truth in the scripture. So much truth in this little passage. But what if it wasn't true? As you read through this, what if it wasn't true? What if God didn't love the world? What if there was no interaction or interest from God? What if we lived in a world where there was no purpose other than ourselves? Then death would bring nothingness. Our prayers would just be useless ramblings lifted up to the sky. And we'd be trying to figure it all out for ourselves, but God does love the world. But what if God did not give his Son? Then we don't know how to get to salvation, so we got to figure it out. There's no assurance of salvation. Our only hope then would be in our own goodness. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know where our goodness is. But true love demands sacrificial giving. And God gave us his Son. But what if the gift wasn't for whoever? What if it was only for the rich? Or the smart? Or the weak? The successful? The needy? The healthy? What if it was only for the well-educated? What if he only came for those of the right race or the right color? What if it was only for a select few and it wasn't for everyone? But the truth is that it is for everyone. His love embraces all, but it touches each one of us individually. See, it's something that Jesus loves the world and the world is for, the love is for all, but each one of us have to respond to that. It is for whoever, but it requires us to believe, and everyone must believe. And what if it were not based on faith alone? Then we'd spend our lives living, working, learning, striving, failing, and dying, and never knowing if we did enough. Unfortunately, too many believers live this way, trying too hard to please God, trying to do enough to make God happy with him. If I just did more, God would do this. I just want to make God happy. I want to do. And there's nothing we can do to make him love us anymore. See, we're going to be striving to be good enough for a perfect God. And we can't be good enough for a perfect God, and he knows that. And so our salvation is based on faith alone. John 3:16, the most popular verse in the Bible, a simple verse, but it's a verse that we have to respond to today. See, Jesus came as a Savior of the world.
And this is why it is important for believers to share our faith, because it contains the message of eternal truth. This is why we have the Lion Moon Christmas offering, and why we give money to missions, and why we support missionaries around our world, because we believe that Jesus loved the world and that people around the world need to hear the message of Jesus. Because we believe this, we do this. This is why we go to places like Haiti. This is why we go to places like Canada, because we believe that Jesus loved the world. This is why it is important that we do ministries in our community. This is why we have people from our church who go to the rescue mission and feed the homeless at the rescue mission, because we believe that Jesus loves them. This is why we are involved in ministries like True Care and Youth for Christ and Child Evangelism Fellowship. This is why we do this, because Jesus loves them. This is why it is so important that we get to know our neighbors and know who they are, because God loves our neighbors. This is why we do Easter egg hunts and fall festivals, because we want to share the love of Jesus with those around us. While the Barna survey shows that Christians are unsure whether or not they should share their faith, there are those all around us who are searching and looking for answers. And we're asking ourselves the question whether or not we should tell them the answer. Nicodemus went to Jesus and he said, I'm going to go find the answer. And there are going to be people who are going to come to us and they're going to find the answer. But there are going to be people around us that may be searching, and maybe they don't come to us, and we need to go to them because they need a Savior. See, when hurting people come to church, or when hurting people have a conversation with a Christian, they don't need to know how great they are. They need to know how great our God is. They don't need to hear that they're good. They need to hear that we serve a God who can take care of them when they're not good. We need to share that love of Jesus. Because God so loved the world, we need to love the world as well. This great message of truth is a message that we need to share, and a message that's available to any who will listen to him. And that's what we need to respond to here this morning. For God so loved the world. As you're here this morning, let me invite you to respond to what God may be saying to you. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with him, and you're like Nicodemus, and you might know all about the right things, and maybe you studied the Word, and maybe you spent time in church, but you don't know Jesus, let me implore you this morning, come to a relationship with Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're a believer in him, what is the message of John 3:16? What does the message of John 3 mean to you? Respond this morning. Respond as God speaks to you.
While shepherds kept their watching, for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Gold heaven on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, gold heaven on the forever and love me. Christ, our mighty champion. Why?